Hi there, and welcome to the HVAC SEO PPC podcast. My name is William Payne, and I'm the president of HVAC SEO PPC. We're a digital agency that specializes in helping HVAC companies grow by getting their digital marketing and branding right. And when I say right, I mean making it so that you are the top of mind awareness in your geographic area when people are about to make a decision on hiring an HVAC company. And also making sure that the type of business you're attracting through these efforts are the most profitable jobs. We do this through a combination of traditional branding, digital strategies including SEO, pay-per-click, display, social, and Google Business Profiles. In this podcast, we're going to talk about your website. We've taken over management of the websites for many HVAC companies over the years, and many of them were very difficult to bring on board because they were convinced that websites do not help bring in business. One of the things that I'd hear the owners say regularly was that they were nothing more than online business cards and that they really didn't generate any business, so they weren't worth putting any money into. Another one is that people that end up on the website are looking for us anyway, so all they need to do is put a phone number on there for them to call. And I can tell you that these are incorrect. Unfortunately, actually, that's not true. In some cases, the owners were correct that the website that they had was never going to generate business for them. That's because they weren't built in such a way that people were going to be finding them when they're searching for keywords related to HVAC, and they were not going to convert once they got to the website. They just weren't compelling to make somebody pick up the phone and call or submit a form fill. I can tell you though that a website that's built right and for search engine optimization and for converting, visitors into customers is a very powerful way for you to grow your business in the not only in the services that you want, but in the geographic areas that are the easiest for you to service and have the highest ticket value. So let's talk about the components that make a website do all of those things: get found in search engines, which is called SEO, and convert, which is basic marketing. You know, what will convert a user on the website into a customer that's going to pick up the phone and call you and spend money with your company. One of the reasons we should examine as to why so many websites are out there that don't work is that they require a variety of different disciplines for them to work correctly. And when a lot of HVAC owners first built a website, they reached out to their IT person because they knew that they had to be technical, they had to understand how to code a website, and that we ended up with a lot of websites that were technically good, but they were never going to convert users into customers. And they may not have been set up to be found in search engines. So it requires a variety of different disciplines for you to make a highly searchable and highly converting website. The first of all is the technical side, which is easier these days because there are very good templates that you can use and you don't have to do a lot of custom coding, fortunately, for most of the functionality. But you do have to do it for some back-end search engine optimization, and so that requires a very technical person to be able to do that. The other side of it, the high converting factor, you have to have someone that understands language and marketing, how to convince people that you are the best company for them to do business with. They have to basically make them like you and trust you on that website. And that is generally not something that you can find in a very technical person. There's not a lot of overlap in those two skill sets. And so what you really need is a group of people that can build the website in such a way that it's going to be fast and responsive. It'll work on a cell phone. It'll work on a tablet. It'll work on a computer. That it's got content on it that the search engines like, but also it has content that the user is going to like, that they're going to see it and they're going to like your company and they're going to pick up the phone and call you because they want to do business with you. So let's break those things down into individual components. The first of which is going to be the technical aspect, because of course you have to have a website that works and is fast and responsive, like I said, and it'll work on all different kinds of devices and things. There are a lot of templates out there now. There are good ones and there are bad ones. You need to hire someone that understands the technical side of it and how to choose the right platform for you. We use servers that are built for very fast delivery of the website. We use WordPress as a content management system, which makes the sites very easy to update. It also allows us to search engine optimize them fairly easily through different plugins that are available for WordPress to do that specific thing. So that is definitely step one, is finding that right technical platform for you that's going to make the rest of the stuff go easily. Because if you don't have that part right up front, everything else is going to take a lot longer. It's going to involve multiple people, and it's going to be obviously a lot more expensive. So definitely make sure that first step is correct, that you get a good, solid platform for your website. WordPress is definitely recommended. You want some kind of a content management system, and there are several theme builders out there that are very good and allow for great looking websites and search engine optimization that will be pretty much built right into the user interface that someone is going to use to create content and update content on the site. And so the next thing to consider is the content side. You know, what actually is on the site in the terms of wording and visuals, photography, logos, etc. We'll talk about wording first. The content needs to be written in such a way that it is, you should consider the user first. You want to make content that is going to be legible for the user. This wasn't always the case. It used to be that you just had to write content that the search engine would find and it didn't matter. Google knows that that's the case. They are constantly updating their algorithms so that the content is legible, readable, and provides value to a user, which is something that they did not consider in years past. And so it's really important that you write content now that is going to have value to your user. Secondarily, you want to write the content such that it's going to be found by search engines. I shouldn't say secondarily because I think they're both equally important. We use plugins that allow our content creators, our copywriters, to write the content, and it uses artificial intelligence to actually grade the content in real time. They say, okay, they choose a keyword before they create their content. So it might be HVAC contractors near me or AC repair near me or something like that. Then they put that into the AI and they say, hey, grade me while I'm typing this content to be appropriate to this keyword. And the AI software does that for them in real time. And it grades on a scale of 0 to 100. And, you know, when you get up in the, you know, high B's and or an A, you get a green light. And that's pretty much what they're doing, is they're just creating that content to make sure that that light stays green and that it is also valuable to the end user. So when a potential customer comes to your website and they find this page because they type, you know, AC repair near me into a search engine, the search engine recognizes their geographic, recognizes that you're a good vendor or, you know, company for this particular query because of this page that the content writer created. It serves it up at or near the top of the results, and that allows the user to click on it, get there, and then read the content on the site, and that content should provide value to them. So it needs to do basically both of those things. So the next obvious question is, how do you write content that provides value to someone that is searching for HVAC repair or AC repair near me? And I think the main thing that we try to focus on as we create content for our HVAC customers is that there's going to be a fast response. They are going to be technical people. They are not going to try to upsell the customer for a more expensive service than they need. And they are going to provide great service from beginning to end. So they're going to answer the phone with a smile. The people that show up on the job site are going to be uniformed and neat and polite and professional, and that they're going to get a prompt bill with no surprise charges. All of those things are the critical components to converting in verbiage, someone that has just ended up on the site and is a total stranger to your company, to someone that's going to trust you to do the best job that you can for their AC repair, which is an expensive repair. It may be an expensive repair. There's certainly a lot of fear when your AC doesn't kick on and cool or heat your home. You know, people see dollar signs. And so when they get to a website that relaxes that fear in them a little bit, so when they get to a website that reduces that anxiety, that fear of, oh my gosh, is this going to cost me thousands of dollars, they're likely to pick up the phone and call you, and they're going to trust you. If it does end up being a replacement that's going to be thousands of dollars, they're going to trust that you're doing that because it's a necessary repair and that it's not an upsell. The things that our content creators do not do, and one of the things that was something that was an old form of search engine optimization, is something called keyword stuffing. And I think everybody that's been around the internet for a while probably has seen this at one time or another, that the sentences are not really legible. They don't really make a whole lot of sense. They just have a ton of keywords like AC repair near me, AC with a geographic region attached to it, AC broken, AC blowing hot, all just kind of crammed onto the same page as either a bullet list or something like that. That's something that is no longer of value to search engines, particularly Google. They have updated their algorithm to not favor those kinds of spammy keyword stuffed pages. And so you have to be really sort of, you have to have some finesse when you're writing the content such that it, you know, it does say to the customer all of those things about technical ability, service, and honesty, reliability, at the same time as getting that keyword such that the search engine, you know, algorithm is going to know that somebody searching for AC repair near me is going to find value in that page. So there's a very fine line that the content writers walk in order to create this content, and it's critical that you find someone that can do that for you, or the site is not only not going to show up in search engines, then it's not going to convert users into customers, which is how you end up with so many HVAC owners that just throw their hands up when it comes to the website and don't want to spend any money on it because they see it as a complete waste of money. So from there, that's the verbiage content. The other part of content is photography. So let's talk about what should be in the photos on the site. There are basically two things that I have seen and that my company sees that are pitfalls for HVAC owners in the photography on their website. The first of which can get you in kind of legal hot water, and that is using, you know, just going and Googling an image and, you know, grabbing it and putting it on your website without knowing who owns the rights to that image. It doesn't seem like that's something that would be done, but we have seen it time and time again, and we have actually had customers that came on board with us and because they had been sued over the images that were on their blog or on their Facebook page or something like that. So the first thing is just to make sure any photography that you use on your site, you have the right to use, that you have explicitly, you know, been given copyright to use it in the way that you're using it. That can be done through stock photography sites or by using your actual photography that you take of your staff and your trucks and your location. That is the second most important thing to me that we see is a mistake that a lot of HVAC owners make on their website is they don't have any actual pictures of their staff. They have relied, assuming that they don't have, you know, stuff that they shouldn't have on their website, but they do have stock photography. A lot of the stock photography that's out there does not really look like it's in the United States. A lot of the stuff is shot in Eastern Europe because the stock photography sites have to keep their prices really low. So American photographers cannot really afford to create content for the vast majority of stock photography sites. Whereas in Eastern Europe, you can do that. You can get, you know, you have Western looking people, and you can get them, it's worth it for them to sell us a photograph for a few dollars, where it's not for an American photographer, they're just not gonna have enough money. The problem with that is that the vehicles don't look correct, and the wardrobe doesn't really look correct. There's a lot of guys wearing bright colored overalls, and they're wearing sort of hard hats on HVAC sites and things like that. Things that your typical HVAC contractor is not going to send a technician out in bright orange overalls with a hard hat on. It just does not look natural. And so it people are used to getting gamed online. They're very suspicious when they get to a stranger's website, a strange company's website. They want to know that they're working with a reliable local company. That's why one of the things is word of mouth is so valuable. That's what HVAC contractors say all the time. There's just nothing better than word of mouth. Your website should be doing that same kind of thing. Even if someone gets a recommendation for your company, there is a very good chance that they're going to Google you and they're going to look at the website and see if they have a good feeling about your company before they pick up the phone and call. We actually see this all the time with our HVAC customers that they will get a contact through the website, whether it's a form fill or a chat, and the person will say, "Oh, my neighbor recommended you," but they still, instead of just picking up the phone and calling, they went to the website, they spent sometimes 5 or 10 minutes on the website looking at like 5 or 6 pages reading the content, looking at the people, looking at the pictures, looking at the trucks, looking at the location, trying to make that decision if is this the right HVAC contractor for me to come and service my home. Do I feel comfortable that this group is going to be honest and that they're going to be prompt and they're going to be nice and professional and do a great job. So even though they've been recommended by a neighbor, they're still going to go to the website. They're still going to kind of vet your company through the website. So it's really important that you have photography and content on the website that reinforces that feeling, you know, of that trustworthy, reliable, you know, honest business feeling. There's really no better way to do that than to actually use pictures of your staff. And most of the manufacturers are going to provide you with some photographs of their equipment, American professional model standing in a nice manicured yard talking to, you know, homeowner models that you are allowed to use. So resource some of that photography from your, you know, from the manufacturers, but also get some pictures of your actual staff in there. If you got three or four trucks, get them all together in a parking lot, put your staff in front of them, take a picture of them. If you've got, you know, a nice front office, you have a holiday party, you know, take some pictures, put them on the website. That's the kind of thing that people are going to look at. And they're going to be like, oh, well, this is a nice local company. They look like friendly people. I want to do business with them. Because we all know people want to do business with people that they like. And so if you can get across to a potential customer and is a total stranger to your business, maybe they've just moved in town from another area, that you are a local business, that you're friendly, that you enjoy working together, that those are the things, that is the kind of photography that is going to make people pick up the phone and call you. So you absolutely, if it has to be a stock photography of a vehicle, it can be that, but it should look like the vehicles that they're going to see around town. So have the designer comp the logo and phone number and a couple of bullet points onto the side. If you can put an actual picture of one of your technicians next to it, we think that's really good. All of those things are critical for the photography on the site. And that is what is going to convert a user into a phone call or a form fill on the website and lead to business. And so all of those things, the technical aspect, the content and the photography, I feel like all of them are equally as important as each other, and they all have to be thought through from someone that understands how to connect with somebody through a website and how to convert them into a customer. So what are some other things? Well, one of the things that we see companies get wrong, surprisingly, is the phone number. It should be clickable, and it should be right at the top of the site, and it should be at the bottom of the site. You don't have to put it everywhere, but it needs to be on the site, prominent and clickable. A lot of the browsers now will automatically, if you're on a phone or some kind of a mobile device, will automatically make phone numbers clickable. But that's not always the case, and so you need to make sure that there's a little tag called a tell tag that you have to wrap that phone number in to make sure that it's clickable, so somebody can just tap it to initiate a phone call. And as strange as this is, we've actually run across sites that didn't have a phone number on them at all. So definitely make sure that there's a phone number on your website. I know that sounds kind of silly, but I personally have seen at least two different sites that we got to and there was not a phone number on them. So just make sure that that's the case. So your address is another main part of this thing. It gets into, obviously, the address doesn't really matter that much for a person in the case of an HVAC company, unless you have some of our customers have showrooms for like outdoor fireplaces and things like that. Maybe they have a propane division where somebody might come up and fill their propane. But in the case of most HVAC companies, they're not going to have any reason for people to really show up at their location. So why is it important to put the address on your website? That one comes back to search engines. So search engines like to see what they call citations. And what those are is different places on the internet where your business name and address appear. And the more places that they trust that your business appears with those components of your business name and your address, the more likely they are to serve you up in search results for your geographic area. It's really important that you make sure that the address that is on your website and the name that is on your website matches identically to what you see in these citations. The very first one that you want to look at, and the most important, is your Google My Business listing or Google Business Profile. If your business name and business address are not identical down to the comma, the period, the capitalization, everything, on your website as to what they are on your Google Business Profile, there is a very good chance that Google will not see your business as being the same. So it will not recognize that the website that you have for your business is the same business as what is in the Google Business Profile. That seems kind of crazy, I know, but that appears to be what is going on. They are very cagey and secretive about how the Google Business Profile works and how their algorithm works, but it definitely appears that you have to have them be identical. So if you know, just go to your Google Business Profile, copy at what's in there, and make sure that paste that into the website or have your developer or your marketing agency do that. They need to match identically. The other thing that helps with, aside from just search engine optimization, is it helps for your listing in map packs. And so those vary wildly from one location to another. If somebody is in a different office in the same office complex or strip shopping center, they might get a completely different set of results than someone else. And so there's no real telling exactly what those top three map pack results are going to be, but the address of your company on your website be identical as to what is in your Google My Business listing is a critical part of making sure that Google knows that those two things are linked. There are a lot of other places that maintain citations. Google, when they first came out, actually went out to the Yellow Pages and different things to build their database of local businesses and kind of try to put all of that together in their information stack. There still are third party groups that maintain the addresses and business information for different local businesses. Apple has one. So when you say, "Hey Siri, you know, give me the location of an air conditioning company near me," if you have not registered your business with Apple, they're not going to show you. They're not going to serve you up. So you have to go out and do that as well. There's a lot of them. I think we maintain directory listings for, say, 50 or 60 different online directories that maintain information about businesses. We use software that does that for us. It's fairly expensive software, so it really pays to hire a firm like ours that you kind of get all of this wrapped up into one. But that's how important those citations are out on the internet and making sure that they're consistent across the board. One of the other things that we see sometimes with customers when we onboard them is that they might have a couple of different Google Business Profiles, maybe from an old employee that maybe set one up, or another marketing firm that didn't realize they already had one and set up a second one. It's important to get those consolidated into a single listing if you can, because it will definitely dilute your presence online and the value that Google sees for your business as a local geographic provider for the services that you're trying to rank for. Also, there's evidence that the location of your website the location of your address on your website can make a difference as to how well it's indexed by Google. The conventional wisdom at the time that I'm recording this is that the bottom right corner of your website should be where the address is located, and it should be, again, identical to what is in the Google My Business listing. Bottom right corner, basically at the very last thing on the right side of the page. And then also you should link that address to your Google My Business profile, because that builds a little bit stronger link between your website. It's not the end all be all. It doesn't mean you're immediately going to appear in MatPack or anything like that. All of this stuff kind of aggregated together ends up with you having a better online map presence though. So it's really important that you do that. One of the other things that we see a lot of times on customer websites when we take them over is there'll be a map that's linking from Google Maps. It's like in an iframe or something like that, and it shows their physical location. A lot of times it'll be broken. This is kind of a minor warning. If you're going to include that frame, because if you Google your business and come up with your Google My Business profile, you're going to see a share button and you're going to see like an embed link to the thing, and it will basically give you the content for a little iframe that you can just plop into a code editor, and it will bring up a little you know frame of your Google Business Map listing on your website. There's a minor warning on this. All of the tech companies are constantly updating their frameworks, and so what works today might not work in 6 months. It might not work in a week. It depends on just kind of when the thing is deployed and when those routine updates happen. So if you're going to do that, make sure that you have someone that is continually checking the you're looking over the website to make sure that it is still working, because there's nothing worse than seeing somebody, here's our location, and then it shows an error where there should be a map. And that's the kind of thing that makes you look like you're not maybe a reliable business, or you're out of business. And it's just little things like that that can cause someone to hit that back button and go to the next person in the results page, which you don't want to happen. So if you are going to include a map, there's nothing wrong with it, you know, using that embed link. But definitely make sure that you check it on a regular basis to make sure that it's still working with the underlying framework, because it can really kind of break at any time without any notice. So just an FYI on that, not a huge deal, but it was definitely worth mentioning. So as long as we're talking about Google My Business, we should talk about reviews. If you read the book that I wrote, or you've listened to one of the earlier podcasts, I talk about reviews and their importance and how to respond to them and stuff like that. If you've gone through the trouble to get reviews, like I said in the previous podcast and in the book, ask for reviews, try to get those good reviews. There's no better way to get them than to become basically just constantly asking for them. Take some of those and put them, at least one or two, three, and put them on your website. If you do multiple services, try to include one for each service. Like I've said, we have customers, HVAC customers, that also do plumbing and electrical, or they do propane, for instance, or they have a showroom that has, you know, fireplaces and gas grills and things like that. You know, try to include one for each one of the services that you do. You know, if you're just HVAC, then have one that has a review, a 5-star review for replacement. You know, 5-star review for service, a 5-star review for, you know, responsiveness. If somebody called you at 7 o'clock on a Friday night and you were out there at 7:30 and had their AC fixed before 8, you know, a lot of times you'll get those reviews with really happy customers like that, because they're just thrilled that they don't have to go all night without air conditioning. You know, ask for a review, get that review, and then put it on the website. What we don't recommend is trying to use a plugin that'll automatically pull those reviews from the Google Business Profile, because number one, you can't really know for sure what somebody is going to say. If you don't know it's going to be a 5-star review, you don't want to include it on the website, for one thing. But also, it could be inappropriate. It could not be your business. Definitely don't want to automate that. You want to have somebody specifically grab the reviews, look at them, pull them. If you want to have your you know, you or whoever maintains your website update them on a regular basis, that's not a bad idea. But you don't have to. Just pick some good ones and, you know, put them on the website that represent all the different services that you have from happy customers. So another thing that's important to include on your website, if you have them, and if you've been in business for a little while, you probably do, is certifications and community involvement. So if you're a member of a local chamber, or sometimes multiple local chambers, it's not uncommon for our HVAC customers to belong to 2, 3, 4 chamber or business leads groups, that kind of thing. An executive association. Some of them volunteer for the Humane Society or for Big Brothers Big Sisters, things like that. They might be on the board of directors for some of those institutions. If you have that kind of thing, absolutely include it on the website. People love to see that. They love to know that they're doing business with somebody that's doing good for the community. The certifications too, if you have, you know, a certification from a manufacturer, like a Carrier factory authorized dealer, for instance, is one of the ones that pops to mind that several of our HVAC customers are. Get that badge, put it on the website. It gives people more confidence in your ability to do a good job if there is a national brand that's willing to say, we certify that these guys are going to do a great job taking care of our equipment in your home. So if you can have anything like that, if you have, say, for instance, a 4.9 or, you know, 5.0 Google My Business review ranking, 5-star ranking, 4.9, 4.5, absolutely include it on there. If it's below 4, I would not include it on there, and I would make an effort to get those reviews higher, get that star rating higher, because that's going to be a huge value to you for, you know, getting people out there on the internet to become customers. But try to include any of those certifications you can. If you think about, you know, sort of like the like a general at a military parade, he's got his ribbons on his uniform to indicate all of the experience that he has. That is a sort of hard baked into the human brain, and people like to see that. And so, you know, if you can include that stuff on the website, if you have that stuff, chances are you have more than enough. If you got like three or four of them, chambers and you know, dealership endorsements and things like that, absolutely include those on your website, because they have they bring a lot of value to that conversion factor of the website. They don't really help for search engine optimization, but they do help for conversion. So when someone is a stranger and they're trying to make a purchasing decision on your company, those certifications and involvements in local businesses and charities and things like that are a great way to push them over the edge into picking up the phone and calling you. So after you've got all that stuff done, you've got a good platform that's easily updatable, and you've got your content written, you've got pages for all the different services, you've got great photography, you got, you know, all of the citations are in order, the certifications on your site that we talked about, all that stuff is a critical starting point. From there, you have to consider doing regular updates and maintenance to the site to keep it relevant in search engines. And we're actually going to talk about that in the next episode. So thank you for listening to this episode about the critical components of your website. If you would like to have us talk to you about doing your website and generating business for your HVAC company, I'd be happy to do that. You can call me at 386-677-3519. Our website is hvacseoppc.com. That's hvacseoppc.com. You can book a strategy session there, and we can talk about how we can help you. Thanks for listening.